Hey everyone, welcome. It's We Watch Stuff number 22. Shahid and I, and I've was able to wrangle up Shahid before he gets on his large trek to, if you heard Stunk Granny Audio 293 with Kevin and I, the middle of nowhere, California, for WrestleMania 31. So Kevin and I were trying to figure this out last night. What exactly is the draw of going to Santa Clara besides it being a brand new stadium?
If you want to see San Jose.
Okay, this is what I didn't do the research last night, and I didn't do it overnight. What exactly is there in San Jose to go see besides the San Jose Sharks?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that because I actually did some research. Did you know that one of the biggest amusement parks in America is in San Jose?
No.
And its opening season starts the Saturday before WrestleMania.
All right. So last Saturday started then?
No. This upcoming Saturday.
Oh, all right. All right.
So, and it happens to be right down the street from my hotel. So, you know where my goofy ass will be since I'm going by myself. I'm going to begin on amusement rides like a serial killer.
Hey, little boy. Can I cut in line? All right, so what is the name of this amusement park? Do you know?
Great American Park, I think. Great America, Great American.
All right.
So it has some of the fastest and biggest rides in the United States. I was doing this research, I was trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to do in San Jose besides wrestling events.
Yeah, because you said you fly in early on Friday, which is why I didn't want to do this on Thursday night. And then, is NXT on Friday night?
NXT is Friday night, start time 10 p.m. Pacific time.
All right. Now, I'm sure you've checked this, but are you positive that's not 10 p.m. Eastern?
It's at 10 p.m. PDT. So unless PDT is French for Eastern Standard Time, I'll double check tomorrow. Because usually it tells you the time on the ticket based on where you are, I guess. Okay, wherever the event is, location-wise. I know my ticket said start time 10 p.m. And it doesn't make any sense for it to start, say, the 10 p.m. Eastern time if it's a Western event. It said 10 p.m. PET. Because I've gotten this question a lot. You sure it's starting that late?
Well,
yeah.
It is 10 on Ticketmaster. It does say 10 p.m. Yeek. That's just crazy. Like, I want to see if there's anything.
I know they're on an assumption, like, if you can go to NXT, you'll probably be a big enough nerd that you don't care what time it is, but that's pushing it. Like, 10 o'clock?
Especially for the out-of-towners.
Yeah.
Hey, especially if somebody from the East Coast comes in, because Texas is in the Central, right?
Yeah, so it's a two-hour difference.
Yeah, okay. Well, apparently this place is not sold out, but there are no tickets available.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Which,
that means it's, well, last time I checked, that means it's sold out.
Yeah, yes, that's kind of what I was expecting to say. Sorry, this event is no longer available. That would be good. But So Saturday, are you going to the Hall of Fame, by the way?
When I tried to buy tickets, they sold out pretty fast. Like, the only thing they were left was, like, nosebleed. They were charging, like, $90, so I'm like, nah. And this was back when it was just Schwarzenegger and Savage. This Hall of Fame class is kind of weird. Like,
what a dumbass thing to say. We can't just roll over that.
Mm-hmm.
You just said when the class was Schwarzenegger and Savage.
Okay, well, Savage.
You know what I mean?
I saw Schwarzenegger in New York when he inducted Bruno, so.
Yeah, but it's just a wrestling Hall of Fame, and. The first two that come to mind are Arnold Schwarzenegger and Randy Savage. It's like one of these is not like the other. And
yeah,
I'm just trying to figure out, like, for the Hall of Fame. I'm gonna see if there's any tickets available for this for you. For the Hall of Fame, it's gonna be kind of a downer event. I mean, you know, Arnie's gonna be pretty awesome. You got the Bushwhackers, who are kind of really old.
Yeah, Tatsumi Fujinami, who...
Oh, have fun, man.
Yeah, when they induct foreigners, that's a mixed bag at best. Usually it's a train wreck.
And then you're going to have Randy Savage. Oh, well, I'm sorry. No, you're not. So it's just going to be videos, and you're going to be reminded, oh, he's dead. And that's just going to bring it down. And then they're going to have the Warrior Award with that little kid that died.
I forgot about that. I'm like,
That's going to be some brutal shit. And you can't escape it. You can't even go outside to get something to drink because with the little kid getting, was this Connor, right? Yeah, when Connor gets inducted, you can't leave your seat because that's, I mean, it's not a Divas match. You can't leave.
I'm gonna take a bathroom, bitch.
Yeah, too bad.
Duck the dick, kid.
You save it. You save it for the bushwhackers, and you go use the bathroom or go get a drink or something. I mean, as you know, as unnecessarily mean as I can be, even I wouldn't leave during that. Because that just seems like
Sad.
poor form. But then you don't want all these highlights of this poor little cancer kid. Like, oh my God, this is supposed to be a celebration, right? Like, you're just basically saying God doesn't exist. I mean, explain it to me then.
There's going to be a lot of crying during that.
Yeah, and then they're going to follow it up with
Medusa.
Oh yeah, I actually always that's the one I keep forgetting is in there.
And who else? Kevin Nash and
That's it.
That's it.
Oh no, Rikishi.
Oh yeah, that's like how this. Oh.
Well, Rikishi's clearly the Coco Beware of this class.
Is it him or is it Medusa?
No, they always have to put a female in, so that's what she disqualifies on the female part.
It's true.
The only other ones that could possibly be it are the Bushwhackers, because I have yet to figure out why they're being inducted. I mean,
Is there?
I was not familiar with them as the Sheep Herders, except for a blip when they were on Turner Wrestling when they were going against the Lightning Express. And then all of a sudden they disappeared and came back as the Bushwhackers on WWF television. And it was what it was. I mean, they never won a tag
I'll say
title.
this, they were memorable. Like, I remember the Bushwhacker when I was a kid for a long ass time. I remember thinking how goofy this was, but I always watched it. So I guess it's kind of like that. You show up long enough, you're going to get in the Hall of Fame. Unless you're Alan Trammell.
Hey. That's cutting deep, my friend. That's cutting deep. Yeah, or Jack Morris, for that matter.
Yeah, or Jack Morris.
Yeah. Or poor Lou Whitaker got booted his first ballot. That's a crime, but of course his end of his career stats were a little inflated, if you kind of follow what I'm getting at. So I don't know about him, but
nothing wrong with the training, the prayer, and the vitamins. So
yeah, especially the vitamins. But yeah, I don't know, man. It just, what a weird class. And I don't get why Kevin Nash is being inducted as Kevin Nash.
See, I was going to ask you about that,
because
they put
thing.
Scott Hall and Razor Ramon, and then, but they described when they did the Kevin Nash thing, they were talking about, oh, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash came in and conquered WCW. But they didn't, but when Razor got in, you can even, who's Scott Hall? Like, it was a completely different person. They never even brought him up.
So I'm trying to figure out if WWE thought that Razor Ramon was a bigger deal than Diesel was. Because if they went over, and this is back though, they were both around when you didn't win 15 Intercontinental titles. Because they listed Kevin Nash as a world champion, an Intercontinental champion, and a tag team champion one time.
Yeah, the same year.
Yeah, and then he goes to WCW and won multiple heavyweight championships. It's like, and you can definitely see where the business changed.
Yeah.
And but it was like Scott Hall only won the Intercontinental title. I think he might have won the tag title.
No, he never. Did he win with 1-2-3 kids? I'm trying to think. He might have, but I can't remember.
Well, if he did, that's still one time and one time, you know? And so, yeah, so it's just, you know, but also Razor Ramon also had that giant memory of losing to the 1-2-3 kid, you know? So, I mean, maybe. I mean, well, Diesel had his 8-second match with Bob Backlund. I don't know.
It just seemed weird. Like, it's funny when I look back at it, I always, even though their career was almost span the same time frame in both WWE and WCW, I always saw Scott, I always remember Scott Hall better in WWE and Kevin Nash better in WCW.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, which is weird because like Kevin Nash was a world champ for like a damn year in WWE, but that's when everybody was talking about how he's the worst, all that worst drawn crap. Yeah. I think that's the time when I kind of stopped watching WWE for a while after that time.
I was still with it for a little bit, and then I got away from it. You know, I think that was like later high school, so I was never home to watch TV, so it didn't matter. Yeah, there's a whole blank period. Like, I didn't remember most of these guys, like the Goon and all that, because I wasn't watching.
Yeah.
Or I wasn't paying close enough attention, I guess. But yeah, so
I was in that same boat as you. Like, I watched up until, I remember watching Monday Night Raw up until when Ric Flair left. And I remember, like, the Razor Ramon stuff. Then I stopped watching. And I went off to school. And then I came back. And I was like, what's the thing that Steve Austin doing at WWE? Talking about he's going to beat somebody. Like, when they start cursing. And why does Hulk Hogan wearing all black? Like, I missed, like, a good chunk of time. When I came back, the NWO started and Stone Cold Steve Austin was a thing.
You know what? I think that period of time, I think it was back when that pulled me in, but that was when the Attitude Era started. And I just remember Steve Austin being the ringmaster. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on here. Like, why is he, what happened to his hair? And then he slowly goes on. And then I remember we had a hot box in college. So we got all the pay-per-views free. And I remember watching that King of the Ring and just being stunned. Well, I mean, I was. That's the appropriate word in this, but I was stunned when Austin says, you come out, you thump your Bible, you talk about your John 3:16, and I was like, wow, that's some vicious shit right there, because you didn't really, I mean, for some people, I guess that would be blasphemous, what
yeah,
he
like,
said, but when he said it, I was like, holy crap, did he just say that? This is awesome. And then he wasn't around for a while after that. I was like, well, all right. But, you know, I mean, I don't know how we got into this. But, yeah, but that's how it started all up again. So, but, so sorry. So you're undecided for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it. I don't think I'll buy tickets for it.
I can, let's see if I can entice you with some ticket prices here. We've got section 114, row 25, seat 15. Unfortunately, it's kind of in the middle for $100. Now listen, here's the sales pitch. When it gets to the Connor part, all you have to do is jump over your seat and run out to get something to drink before it starts. I think that's within the legal bounds of, you know, avoiding being a douchebag for ignoring the kid. Just saying.
Well, it's the reason I didn't see 12 Years a Slave in the movie theater, because I don't like the pay, to feel uncomfortable. I think this year's Hall of Fame kind of slides in that whole thing. Like,
yeah.
One dead kid and one dead man. Yeah.
Wait a minute. So, I haven't seen the movie, but you're basically equating this Hall of Fame experience to 12 Years a Slave.
You know, that's the first I just thought about that, like how
all right.
Something like a jackass wrestling fan would say, and I didn't want to go there. That's the first movie that popped in my head when I think of sad movies to see. So, yeah.
I'm writing this one down for the write-up. No, I haven't seen 12 Years a Slave just because I don't need a fictional movie to explain to me that slavery was bad. Like, I don't understand the point of it. I don't think the word slave just kind of lends itself to being something awful.
Yeah, you know what's funny, and I'll just say a quick thing about that. When I said before, you know, in like I think it was Italy or some country, I think like Michael Fassbender or Benedict Cumberbatch is like on the poster for that movie.
Oh wow!
Because it's a thing where you can't put black faces on posters in European movies because they won't sell. So just think about that. 12 Years a Slave starring Magneto.
Well,
I forgot
That's one hell of a superpower, I guess. But, all right, so wait a minute. So I'm trying to think of it. So here you had the star on the cover, or the poster. Mm-hmm. And it's called 12 Years a Slave. And that's supposed to draw people in? I don't know. I guess posters work? I don't know. Because it never really... I'll see a poster and go, well, that looks interesting. And then I'll go watch the preview and go, well, that looks stupid. But, yeah, what a weird thing to sell. Like, 12 Years a Slave, and they're putting white people up. And it's like, wait, huh? And all the black audiences go, and they're like, wait a minute, we got lied to.
It's not what we thought it was. Especially when they changed the titles of the movie. Could they do that, too, in some places?
Well, I know, like slavery obviously wasn't a strictly American thing. I mean, it goes back to the Bible and whatever else you want to read. But, oh, I just totally lost my train of thought. God damn it.
Maybe that's for the best.
Oh, no. Okay, so no. Actually, it was kind of a serious point.
Okay.
But, like, how do other, like 12 Years a Slave goes over to England, or it goes to China, I guess. I don't know if it did or not. Like, what's the impression, like, these other countries get? Like, because you can't come out of that acting all, like, highfalutin, like, I can't believe they do that. Because your country probably had the exact same scenarios.
Like, they probably say the same thing, like, well, why didn't he fight back like they did with us? Because that's the argument a lot of... It's funny we talk about this. That's the argument a lot of countries always make, say, where whenever other places has been, like, that type of thing, the population always fought back. And here it was like, oh, well, they waited for Lincoln to save them.
That is, I mean, I don't... That is a strange thing. I guess it was more mental, just worn down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I know there was some average, but wasn't it like 100 slaves to one owner on some of these plantations?
Yeah, I mean, there were cases where they fought back, and then the United States brought the government in and ran them down, more or less, like it did the Native Americans. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, you know, France was going to come and save the day or something like that. So it's just always funny when you had those. And that movie made a lot of money overseas, which was surprising.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it was, I think it made... See, here we go. That's why we don't have a free... This is a free-form show for real. We went from Randy Savage to 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, we went from the Hall of Fame to 12 Years a Slave, yes. Poor Connor.
Yeah, so it made $187 million.
In general or overseas?
In general, $22 million budget.
Wow, nice
so
work.
For it, yeah.
Well, you know what? And that's probably because there were no black... The black guy wasn't on the cover. Or wasn't on the poster over in England or wherever. What a weird... I know we always go into this. And
what
I know
a weird
it's...
thing, yeah.
It's like, I don't get it. Like they're talking about Star Trek 3. Edis... Oh, fuck. What's his name? Idris Elba? Is possibly in line to play the villain in the third Star Trek movie. And it's like, oh, cool. All right. But you know someone's going to bring up the fact... Like,
there's
wait
no
a minute.
Black aliens?
Yeah, which isn't true. Well, he was a Klingon, I guess. But just, didn't they have the one goofy, nerdy-looking guy on one of the TV shows? They gave him the Vulcan ears?
Yeah.
Whatever his name was.
On Voyager.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot Uhura as well. So, oops. But, no, but you know, like, someone's just going to complain about it. And it's going to be a nothing story. It's going to be like some jackass. And then
the Viking League or something like that.
Yeah, like Fox News will pick it up. And it'll run in, like, the Huffington Post or whatever. And like, what? Why? Who cares? Because the Star Trek movies are basically all predicated on how strong the villains are.
Yeah.
You know,
the best movies are the ones that had the best villains for the most part.
What, you didn't like Star Trek V where they fought God? Or... whatever that thing was.
Don't get me started on that. I'm trying to remember if I went to the... I remember watching that and thinking, like, this is just trash.
We went... I was in high school. We went, and it was opening night. Places packed full of people. And when this is back when they were using film, and they did the whole cutover to the next reel during it. The other reel didn't kick in.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are you watching a bad movie, it got delayed because the other projector went down. Like the secondary projector went down. And I think it was my mom's friend Harry just went, I don't know, even know if we need to go back in. Like it was that bad. And I'm like, I don't care. I only saw Star Trek movies. I never watched the shows or anything.
Okay.
But I mean, I knew enough about them. But yeah, so not only are you being beaten over the head with a terrible movie, then you gotta wait for the end. It's like, oh boy. And I know like directors and actors and producers all that like going with film stock still, but you don't get the problems most of the time now. Like I remember distinctly when I worked at the movie theater, we would have like they would lock up, and those bulbs are so hot, and that film is so easy to burn. If it gets stuck for like a minute, I'm sorry, not a minute, obviously, but like 2 seconds, it will burn right through the film. And then you're screwed because you got to have your union guy splice it all over again. So yeah. The digital stuff is just a better way to go, even if you can pirate it a lot easier.
That's true.
So
I'm just, you had me Googling Star Trek V, like, of course, William Shatner.
He directed it. Yeah, because Nimoy did 3 and 4. Yeah.
Yeah. He's always jealous of Spock.
Yeah, but they came back strong with number 6, though.
Yeah, because they got the director that did the second one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, The Wrath of Khan. I think 6 is one of my favorite ones. I actually went to the movie theater to see that one.
Oh, dude, the end of that, when you've got Christopher... It was Christopher Plummer, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the villain.
Yeah.
And he's just rattling it with Shakespeare, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. He's doing Shakespeare, and Bones goes, "Will someone please shut him up?" And Uhura just goes, "Well, the thing's got to have a tailpipe." And all of a sudden, they rig the thing, and he's like, "We're all set down here, Jim." And Kirk just gives the best one ever. Fire!
Yeah.
And his Sulu's got to try and get his little nose in there. Follow that shot and fire. It's like, Sulu, you got to ruin everything. But yeah, I mean, they make quick work of him as soon as they know they can mess the ship up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was some violent, violent stuff. It was great.
Yeah.
But
okay, so back to, yeah, I don't think I'm going to go to Hall of Fame. So Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So Sunday's Mania, of course.
And that starts at 4 o'clock Central?
Right? 4 o'clock Pacific.
Oh, yeah, 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 Pacific, sorry.
And it's a 4-hour show. 2-hour pre-show, 4-hour event show.
Well, is the pre-show even, like, the pre-show's for the network only, though. I mean, it's not...
I mean, yeah, but this year is going to be, I mean, when we go, we're going to see the matches. So there's going to be a match. It's going to be a bunch of dead time, video package, and a match. I think, what, last year, what was it, 2 matches in the pre-show?
No, it was was it a gauntlet match for the tag? No,
it was a tag. It was like a...
It was the Usos versus Swagger and Cesaro. And then at the end, Cesaro punked out Swagger and Zeb Coulter.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just started the show with Triple H and Daniel Bryan. And then, I'm sorry, no, it didn't. It started with The Rock, Hogan, and Austin having their segment.
Live from the Silver Dome.
God, what a great moment, though. Because Kevin, I don't think, caught it. And I'm like, did he just say Silverdome? And they did it again, and Kevin goes, oh my God!
But yeah, we all caught in that session. I'm like, somebody's going to have to call him out on that. And then Austin did, and then The Rock did. Like, I didn't even realize The Rock was in town. I figured Austin was in.
There were rumors, but you know the nice thing about being active in New Orleans like that was we weren't on our phones at all,
mm-hmm.
except to take pictures. We weren't on the net, so if word leaked out that Rock was there, and Kevin actually mentioned this too, because The Rock, you know, kind of gives away when he's in places now. So hopefully he doesn't do that this time, mm-hmm. but you had no clue he was there. So that was, I mean, it was pretty cool because you know all that talk about how Austin and Hogan never got it on. And then Austin comes out and is like, you want to see you know, open a can of whoop ass on Hogan, and Rock comes out after that. And it was like, this is the greatest thing ever, and there hasn't been any wrestling so far. And it's been 20 minutes. But they keep making a big deal out of The Rock hosting Saturday Night Live, so he can't be at WrestleMania on Sunday.
Like that man sleeps. I follow him on Instagram. He brags about, I woke up at 3:30, I did cardio, now I'm flying to California to film a movie, and now I'm going to be here and film a TV show.
Exactly. But it's like no one understands how travel works. If you get in a plane, you can go a far distance in a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, what do you think? He's going to be on a boat?
It's like he's taking a stagecoach. A boat would be very slow across the United States.
He's hosting Saturday Night Live. He can't get to California. Mike, I'm sure he has a plane. He's not flying Southwest like me, so he can get to California and take a nap.
Well, my thing was, why can't he actually has the perfect time to sneak in to San Jose. He gets done recording, he gets done with the Saturday Night Live taping. He can go to the party for a little bit, and they have this thing called the Red Eye. So you can just fly to Los Angeles. I'm sorry, I keep saying Los Angeles. Fly to San Jose, or possibly fly to Frisco if they have an airport, and then drive over so no one sees.
San Jose, the closest airport.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess you'd know.
And he has a thing, I think it's called a private plane. So
yeah, I know WWE kind of has one or two of those. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. But, yeah, so it's like you can't rule anybody out for these things. It's not the old days. So, but yeah, I don't know, man. That's going to be a long time. That is 6 hours. So you're going to get there at what, 2?
Yeah. Oh, I have 2 backup chargers, so my phone will be fine. I plan this year. I had 1 last year I was doing fine. This year I have 3. So one of them will last. One of them can charge my phone like 7 times, so that should be enough. Wow, but just in case I got a backup. Because I don't know if they're going to have outlets or anything. And then...
Isn't that supposed to be like the most technologically advanced stadium?
True. Well, it makes sense in that area. They brag about it all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have, you know, Wi-Fi. They have outlets at every seat. And I'm on a floor. So I would figure if they had something like that, I would get it there. But we'll see.
That'd be a good test of the Wi-Fi, though. Because I do remember how much, like, watching something about... when they were building Levi's Stadium, like how much cabling is actually running underneath that to support the Wi-Fi needs of the stadium. But that's only with a football stadium, not like a crowd where there's however many thousand on the field as well. So yeah, that'll be quite interesting though. So yeah, we're definitely gonna. When are you flying back, by the way?
I fly back Tuesday morning because I'm going to see Raw.
Oh crap! That's right.
Right. So I'll be back early. Like, I fly out at like 7. So I'll be back in town by 9.
Oh, wow.
9:30, 10 o'clock. Because it's a 3-hour flight nonstop. So.
Yeah, so we'll have to get your firsthand perspective later in the week then. unless something happens and then we can get a first person perspective, we'll figure out how to get it done. My default for this is nearly getting burned up by fireworks.
Yeah, I still laugh at that story.
I mean, you know, like nothing happened to us, so it's cool. Mm-hmm. But I had so much fun just.
That was Orlando, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look back on it now, like how much fun that was. Like I was an eyewitness. I was part of the story, and it never went anywhere. That was like a one day thing. That was it.
Yeah, mine is leaving Miami after that WrestleMania, and it's normally a 20-minute drive, and it was like 3.5 hours because we could not get out the parking. Somebody thought it would be a good idea to have 6 lanes turn to 2 lanes. So picture 65,000 people, most of them who are not from the area, leaving all at the same time. Yeah, like I didn't leave. I turned my car off. I didn't leave the parking lot for like 1.5 hours.
So how are you get? All right, how do they have this set up this year? Do you know? Do they have like shuttles?
I can walk to WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's like right. Matter of fact, if you get a you can get a hotel room looking at the stadium. It's like 2 blocks.
Oh, nice. So, okay.
And they have public transportation going there for people who have to deal with that. The only reason I'm getting a rental car is to go to Raw and NXT. If I wasn't doing that, I could just hoof it everywhere. But I want to try to deal with a taxi tab like 1 a.m. in the morning for NXT. And definitely not, I don't know how Raw would be.
Yeah, I think that's why we talked about it before. Like, my favorite WrestleMania experience so far has been New Orleans. Yeah. Just because you could walk to everything. Walk to WrestleMania, walk to the Hall of Fame, walk to all that. We didn't even go to the Hall of Fame, but, you know, walk to Raw the next day. Detroit only because it was home, and then also because we got to do our car show. That was fun. Orlando was fine, but they had that pretty smooth, man. You had a bus system. It took you back to, like, the Amway Arena, so you didn't have to worry about and by the time you got there, the traffic wasn't so bad. So, oh, and Atlanta was a good one. I forgot about that. We just took the MARTA everywhere, except for the fact you can't get food after 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday.
South.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah, Miami was just a traffic thing. New York, ugh, I couldn't stand that, because between that and the weather, like, we were right across the street from the stadium, but the street is a damn highway, so... Yeah, it took almost an hour to get there. It took like an hour to get back.
Yeah, that was the one. As soon as they said it was New York, I just went, nope. Yeah, and even, yes, I was talking to Kevin. He's the same thing. He's like, I don't want to go to that. I was like, yeah.
I don't know how in the world it was easier for us to get to Madison Square Garden than it was to get to the stadium right across the damn street. And then the weather, it was like, it was cold, it rained, and then it got colder, and then it was like, that was just a weird mania, because everybody was just dreading the ending, seeing John Cena beat The Rock, and then the whole CM Punk Undertaker thing. That was the last time we were complaining about a build-up for that. I'm looking forward to having a good time, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think, especially with the developments with WWE, with Brock Lesnar signing for 3 years, apparently.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a question. Did you ever think that the time would come that you're watching SportsCenter and they're announcing somebody re-signing with WWE? You seen the little feed.
Yeah, okay. I got a theory on this one. I think the only reason that he was on was because they expected him to say he was signing with UFC. I think SportsCenter, ABC, all that stuff, I think those guys are so arrogant and dismissive of wrestling that the only reason, outside of like their goofy talk shows like Sports Nation, whatever else, but I think their flagship show, SportsCenter, all that, it looks down on wrestling. It always has.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about WrestleMania, but use like in a joking manner, like, oh, you know, yes, WrestleMania was last night, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Mike, when Shaq shows up.
Yeah, so, like, yes. So when they had him on, I fully expected him, or they fully expected him to say that he's re-signed with the UFC and this and this and this. So I have no doubt, and clearly the chick didn't know who, not Michelle Beadle, but the other one, had no clue who he was. I mean, I know it was a slip of the tongue, but it was like Brock Lesnar. Like, oh, you had one job. That's all you have to do is read the Ron Burgundy thing. Read what's on the teleprompter, dudes. It's not hard.
Brock Lesnar. That was actually trending on Twitter. I was wondering why I was talking about that, and then I found out what happened.
And I know it's really hard to say these things, but I think I even put up, dumb broad called him Brock Lesnar. And I know it was a mistake, but you got one job in that
case.
That's
all you gotta do.
Yeah, you don't even need to go into his history, any of that stuff. But yeah, I seriously think that's the only reason he was on there.
Yeah.
If they would have known ahead of time, he would have been on like First Take.
SportsCenter. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's good for WWE. I mean, look definitely at the exposure it got.
How surreal it is, like, oh, you know, SportsCenter, Brock Lesnar re-signed with WWE. He'll be defending the title against Roman Reigns. NIT up next. Like.
No. The women's NIT.
The women's, yeah. Yeah. Women's basketball.
Do you like layups? Women's NITs for you. But I just can't imagine them agreeing and like going, oh, yeah, definitely. Wait a minute, what did he just say? Oh, we got taken.
Mm-hmm. Vince probably laughing his ass off.
I did like Vince McMahon's tweet. Congrats to us was the hashtag. What a great! I mean, I thought that was very funny and fitting.
Simple and effective. It was.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about that. It was going to be bad enough for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. He's going to get cracked on. I mean, because how can you, we talked about before, Brock Lesnar was already a babyface anyway because he's basically an ass kicker that won and backed up what he said.
Yep.
And the only reason people could really boo him was like because Paul Heyman was a jerk. But WrestleMania crowd was like Paul Heyman worshippers. And it's like, I gave up UFC because, you know, I wanted to come to WWE and I wanted to tell the fans they deserve to know and I enjoy entertaining. And at WrestleMania, I'm leaving with the damn belt. How can you boo that?
Yeah. And especially when you said God was speaking to me and all this, like, oh, wow. And I get the feeling all that was genuine. That wasn't, you know, and then he said, I'm born to be an entertainer. I was like, oh, really? Like, no, you're not. I've heard the promos. You're an ass kicker. I was like, don't do that. Like, and that's my fear is they're going to start changing stuff about him. Like, no, he needs to remain the exact same way.
It fits him saying that because it's more, like, believable, him saying that, like, a sports center thing. But he's not going to be out here like, I'm a sports center. Like, when he's on Raw, he's not going to tone that sports entertainment crap.
Like whenever Dolph Ziggler loses, he's like, yeah, well, I stole the show, and I had the best match of the night. It's like, you lost. Who cares?
Did Justin Berlin ever say crap like that? Like, he threw a one-hitter and they lost, like, 1-0. Well, you know, I stole the show and be on SportsCenter. I'm sorry we lost the game.
Yeah, it's like saying, well, with him, he'd be like, yeah, well, you know, gave up 5 runs in 3 innings, but I'm going home to tag Cade Upton for a while. Like, that's what? No. You still
that's
lost.
That's what Jay Cutler was saying. But most athletes not going to say that nonsense.
Well, hell, Jay Cutler, no one goes to his press conferences now. He can say whatever he wants. No one will know. Lucky guy. But, yeah, no, I thought of that, too. How brutal that crowd is going to be now. And because it's not your usual crowd. It's the hardcore,
yeah,
you know, diehards, and they don't want Roman Reigns.
And they love Brock Lesnar. And they're going to love me even more if they know he's sticking around.
Yeah. And I just wonder what will happen if Brock loses.
You already know. You're going to hear bullshit chants. You're going to hear CM Punk chants. You're going to hear Daniel Bryan chants. And you're going to hear Michael Cole saying, history has been made in Levi's Stadium. The most polarizing star of recent memory. And
oh, no.
Because I'm just thinking about that. Because I remember watching the Royal Rumble. And you know stuff has to be bad when The Rock gets booed.
Yeah.
You know, and this is not like, you know, Hollywood Rock. It's like, you know, welcome home, Rock. We love you coming back. And even that didn't make a difference.
I almost wondered if the people thought Rock was going to come out and bitch slap Roman Reigns. And then as soon as he, like, hugged him, it was like, wait a second. What are you doing with that guy? We don't want you doing that. So fuck you too then. the only other thing that could save it is if Roman Reigns wins and they pull the trigger with Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
But I actually mentioned this on the audio 293. I think it'd be great if, you know, a very close competitive match and Lesnar actually gives, you know, gives Reigns some respect, but he still beats him, but he gives him some respect. And you kind of have like the happy ending. And then Seth Rollins comes out to try and cash in on Brock Lesnar, and Brock beats him too. Just, I don't know where else you go from there with Brock Lesnar, but I think that would be pretty fantastic.
Well, you got a lot of options. You're going to be around because you know people going to say Daniel Bryan. And I'm like, yeah, that's a story that sounds nice, but I like Daniel Bryan. I want him to be healthy. I don't want him anywhere near wrestling Brock. People that's been talking, this whole thing is going to be a setup for Brock versus Rock.
I can see that, actually.
Yeah. Which makes sense because they were supposed to do it this year, but, you know, Rock got hurt and then movies got in the way. So
Yeah, and
Dallas, like Dallas, 100,000 people, like that match will sell.
especially if they try to go with Undertaker. I mean, I like how we're already going to next WrestleMania. This one hasn't even happened yet, but it just I could see, you know, and the rumored Undertaker staying next year. There was another one as well. I can't remember what it was though.
Stone Cold, I guess, because it's Dallas.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Dallas one I'll go to because there's stuff around it. You know, Arlington's got stuff there and all that, but
Yeah, we can drive. Like, we're going because we can drive. It's like basically a
Oh,
2-hour drive.
that's right. I forgot about that.
So that'd be the cheapest one, like money-wise, for us, because we don't even have to get a hotel. We can just go the day of if we wanted to.
Trying to think where there's nowhere around here unless they did it at Bank of America Stadium, which, you know, our weather right now, it'd be perfect, but so yeah, so well,
Yeah, that re-signing opened up a lot of it, added intrigue, because before it was just, the whole argument was, well, you can't push Roman Reigns, you can't push Brock Lesnar the way you did and not have it set up for Roman Reigns and then have Roman Reigns lose, because then it's waste what you did with The Undertaker and John Cena. But now it's like, well, Brock Lesnar's gonna be around for 3 years, then, and Roman Reigns not ready, push the star.
Yeah, he pushed the guy who's over and right now has media exposure. But I mean,
And
Roman
I
Reigns was
heard
on
argument,
Conan.
yeah, I heard the argument. Somebody say maybe Paul Heyman turns on Brock and goes to Roman Reigns. My thing is, like, being a part-time star works when you're a heel champion and people try to climb the mountain. How are you going to justify, oh, Brock's going to show up and get revenge, but he has to wait till SummerSlam because he only has 6 dates?
He's like, I'm really mad, but I'm gonna take the summer off. So I'll see you in a little bit.
I gotta save my appearance. Like, yeah, that worked in Rocky III, but that doesn't work in most stories.
Okay, speaking of Rocky, that Rusev, and I know this is a pretty heavy wrestling show, guys, but you know, whatever. That Rusev video was fantastic, except for the fact that Rusev was doing everything that the good guy's supposed to be doing. He's training in the dirty dungeon. He's lifting kegs instead of weights. He's throwing bags of sand instead of, you know, boxing, punching bags, all that stuff. He's the bare bones guy where the sleek, you know, over-polished wrestler and John Cena is doing his thing.
Yeah, like he basically said, John Cena trains to look pretty. I train to eliminate weakness and to be, successful.
Yeah. Wait, who am I cheering for now? I'm cheering for Rusev anyways, because
Yeah,
he
like
hasn't
you
said
said it
anything
just
wrong
yeah.
yet, so.
You said yourself, the only reason to boo Rusev is that whole anti-USA stuff. But other than that, you gonna cheer the guy that wins every match and never cheats?
Well, he did kick Cena in the balls, I
But
guess.
that's the first time he's cheated.
Yeah. But even then, it's like, it's John Cena. I mean, he kind of deserves it. I mean, look how Cena treated him after that. He goes out and attacks him in the ring. That makes his girlfriend, he knocks the guy out, so his girlfriend has to tell him he can have a match. So what's the guy do? Hey, woman, you don't make decisions for me. Where's she been the last few weeks? Where she belongs, not making decisions for
I'm
him.
cooking food.
Yeah, doing women's work, damn it.
Yeah, that whole build-up's just been, I don't know, like, I know what they're doing with John Cena. It's just too damn, like, almost xenophobic is the
Oh,
word. Like,
yes.
yeah, like Frank, like he a Frank Miller baby face almost. That's going a little too, like, if you get that far, it's just,
You know, I'm really happy you mentioned that. And this is tied to wrestling. I'll get there. You'll figure it out in a second. But I was reading the history of the RoboCop franchise, and I forgot that Frank Miller wrote number two, and they butchered it. And then he wrote all of number three, and they made wholesale changes to it. But what didn't occur to me until I was reading that was Frank Miller has this weird disposition for making kids,
Curse.
yeah, or evil. And because remember they had that the Batman, the All-Star Batman, like Robin was kind of a dick. And then I forgot that RoboCop 2 had a kid as the bad guy.
A drug dealing Richie Rich kid.
Yes.
Yes.
I had totally forgotten. It's been years since I've seen that movie. But yeah, I was just dumbfounded. Like, he's had this, like, this crutch for since the early 90s. Like, that's crazy to me.
It's funny. I remember when RoboCop 2 first came out and watching it, like, oh, it's not the first one, but it's okay. Then I remember watching when I was older on cable. I'm like, this is.
Yeah.
Like, I felt bad for, like, Peter Weller. Like, they got him slumming in this mess. And I was wondering why. I think it was either Ebert or Cicero just ravaged that movie. Like, they got this little foul-mouthed 8-year-old.
It was Roger Ebert.
Yeah. Like, what kind of garbage is this? Watching this as an adult, I couldn't see exactly where he came from. Because it wasn't like, oh, look at this cute kid. Yep. When, like, he's basically like the number two villain in the damn movie.
Yes, because the main villain gets, well, for spoiler, in case you haven't seen RoboCop 2, the main bad guy, they basically kill him, rip his brain and spine, and put it in the other robot.
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes and kills the kid and everybody. It's like, I wish this was on Netflix, because I want to see it. But not as bad as I want to see Part 3 again.
Ugh.
I saw Part 3 in the theater.
My condolences.
Well, it was when I worked at the movies, and I got to see it for free. And it was one of those just magical, like, what am I watching? Why am I, what's going on? Why are we watching this? Because Nancy Allen, it's Nancy Allen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she dies early in the movie. It's not Peter Weller. The old man from OCP is no longer around. It's Rip Torn. Like,
mm-hmm.
This is before I even knew who Rip Torn was. So when I saw other movies with him in there, and then especially the Larry Sanders Show, I was like, that's the bad guy from RoboCop 3. What the hell is he doing in this? Not realizing that Rip Torn also is in the classic Beastmaster. So
the circle's complete.
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny when you watch movies. I'm glad you all like when you watch movies when you're older, because I was thinking about that Face Off. How the hell was that movie as enjoyable as it was? Because I remember this story thinking it's kind of like John Travolta, Nicolas Cage, maybe if they switched faces and lost pounds. I'm like, there's no damn way in the world that story makes any sense whatsoever. Like, just the whole movie is just batshit crazy from start to finish, and you don't care because it's just enjoyable. Like, this was Nicolas Cage doing Nicolas Cage things before it became kind of like trite.
Yeah. All right. It's been another one. I think I've only seen that in the theater when it first came out, maybe one other time. But do I remember this right? That Travolta was the good guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he goes, gets his whole body done to look like Nicolas Cage, but then Nicolas Cage finds out he has, and I'm going to say this very, very specifically, he has his entire body redone to be John Travolta, because doesn't Nicolas Cage as John Travolta sleep with John Travolta's wife?
Yes, and she somehow doesn't realize it's different. Like, she had a feeling, but she wasn't sure how. Like, women aren't that damn dumb.
Yeah, and it's like, we're not all built the same. So, but I keep hearing Face Off brought up now as an example of just ridiculousness, and that's where, like, some of the Hollywood blockbuster movies really started to go downhill with idiocy. Like, it's a John Woo movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know what it is?
He hightailed his ass out of here. So.
No, you know what's funny about that movie? That one, and to a lesser extent, Con Air, the story makes no damn sense. But it's enjoyable because, one, the action is great. And then, two, it's when they start, like, let's throw a whole bunch of character actors. Michael Bay is the king of this. But before that, like, let's take a whole bunch of character actors and throw them in an action movie. Like, just think about the cast of, like, Face Off. Like, you had CCH Pounder showing up. What's the direct name? Nick Cassavetes playing a drug dealer. K. kissing his sister Gina Gershon, Joan Allen, and Margaret Cho shows up. It's like, this is the whole thing, like when Nicolas Cage being an action star, kind of, it didn't even make sense, but it somehow worked. Like between that and The Rock and Con Air kind of started all that.
When did he win that Academy Award for
Leaving Las Vegas?
Yeah, now I know.
Before we start playing these movies.
Okay, now I understand we could do an entire series on Nicolas Cage movies, and that's not what I'm going for.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just trying to figure out, did his comic book collection get that large? And like his rare Ripley's Believe It or Not artifact collection get that large that he has to make all these movies now?
Gotta pay the tax, man. That's why when you buy a damn castle, you don't pay your income tax.
Yeah, I know he bought that Action Comics number one for like at least $100,000. Like, it just...
You know what I think about Nicolas Cage? I think he's always been a weirdo, and now he just lets himself be one. He doesn't have to hide it anymore. Because you don't become strange like that, like, overnight. And it's not like he had a child that died or a spouse that died. Like, yeah, Lee Lee's became an action star because his wife died, and he needed to get over that. Yeah, that one I can see.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's funny because I was actually looking. I have a free movie ticket I need to burn, and I think I'm going to go see Run All Night.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually talking to Elise about Liam Neeson, to where he was in all serious movies, and then his wife dies, and I think his next movie was Taken, wasn't it?
It was
roughly around there.
Around that time, like he did some action, but it wasn't like Liam Neeson action star. Like, you know, Rob Roy had some action. He was in Dark Man. I don't know if he was in Star Wars came out either before or after.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then Batman Begins. So he did some, but it was still like, you know, that's Liam Neeson character actor.
Right.
Now he's, next thing you know, he's doing Taken, he's in the A-Team, he's fighting wolves, you know,
okay.
All that stuff.
And not as a quick aside, I enjoyed the hell out of that A-Team movie.
I did too.
It was dumb as hell, but that's what made it fun. I can't believe there hasn't been another one of those.
They said it didn't make enough. They wanted to do a sequel, but the first one didn't make enough to justify doing a sequel.
Yeah, that's a shame. That was just plain fun.
It was, because just think about the casting. Like, you know, the guy from District, like, we both were struggle coffee fans. He just fits that role. Bradley Cooper, like Rampage Jackson playing B.A. Baraka. Like, who would have thought to even pick that?
Yeah.
And it worked, you know? So, like, yeah, that was I remember seeing a movie there. Like, this is a fun action. Like, it's a fun action movie that will probably just come on TNT a zillion times and you watch when it comes on. So it knows what it is and it does it. And I always love seeing, what's his name? What's the guy from Insidious? Playing a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, he just has that. Like, he's one of those type, like, you know, you can see him being likable, but he just has a face like, yeah, you can easily hate him. He just got this smug look about him.
I just realized, since you mentioned his name, Chappie is no longer in theaters? How bad did that bomb? Holy crap.
Yeah. Caveman's still in theaters, but Chappie's not, so that should tell you something.
Not around here, it's not.
Yeah, Kingsman's still showing like five times.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Never mind. Yeah. Oh,
it's been a top five since it's been out. It's been out for like, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks?
Sorry, I take it back. Chappie is around here, but it's somewhere I have no clue where it's at. Wow.
Yeah, just looking at that movie. And now he's going to do the next Alien movie.
You know what? He's had one good movie and two duds in a row. I don't know, man.
He might be somebody where maybe he'll do better if he's doing somebody else's story. I just think it's kind of like the action scene. Look, he knows how to film action. It's everything else that's the problem. It's kind of like, you know, you try to do serious stuff, but there's no context to it.
Yeah. I mean, especially he admitted like Elysium wasn't any good. It's like, yeah, that's good. I could have told you that as soon as that movie got about halfway through. I was like, this thing's not good. Except for how do you say his name again?
Charlton Copley. Yeah.
Okay. he was having a load of fun during that movie. Because he was unrecognizable too. It's like, wow, all right. He seemed to be the only guy having fun. And then he comes out, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, I didn't get this one right." Blah blah blah. All right, cool. And then Chappie, first horrible name for a movie. That's not about some kid in the 20s selling newspapers. Mm-hmm. It's just dumb. And then second, having, especially in this country, you took Hugh Jackman and gave him that goofy mini mullet. And then you put him in clothes. So the chicks aren't going to go see that movie. You've somehow ugly down Hugh Jackman. And then everyone's talking in goofy accents. Even the robot's got an accent. Like, and I understand, you know, that's
South Africa, blah blah blah. Yeah, but yeah.
That's, I don't know. Especially after getting burned by RoboCop. You know, a remake of RoboCop. No one wanted to remake a Short Circuit. So,
and it's funny, like, I heard the name talking about, well, I think, oh, it's going to be this cute little PG-13, and then Santa Cruz, like, just some R-rated racist mashup nonsense. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to go see this. And then, yeah, it bombed. I'm not surprised. I was about to say, that was making me think about something when you brought up Hugh Jack ugly up. So, oh, ugly up people, because I know we got to talk about for the show on. We both saw that Mission Impossible commercial.
Oh yeah.
So you want to start first?
All right. I don't care. I liked all of these except for the second one. I thought it was a little long winded, and really them fighting on motorcycles was kind of goofy.
Oh, you didn't like the motorcycle scene?
It was okay.
I just thought, like, this is just John Woo. Like, yeah, I'm gonna do one more batshit crazy thing before I leave.
And my favorite part of that was there were still pigeons or doves in it. Like, oh, he worked them in. Good work. But I loved three. What's his name? Philip Seymour Hoffman was awesome.
Oh, he was awesome in that movie.
And then the fourth one just got even better with Tom Cruise's suicidal ass just standing on top of the tallest building in the world.
Just because.
And then I forgot this was coming out. So we're watching a basketball game, and I'm like, oh, cool, the new Mission Impossible. And he's shirtless. All right, there you go, ladies. And then they show him jump off whatever platform into looks like a pool of water. And I'm like, all right, this looks pretty badass. And then that nut job. And I don't know if most people do not realize this. Tom Hanks, oh, Jesus. He might do his own stunts. I don't know. But Tom Cruise does all his own stunts. So, and he doesn't use CGI. So when you see him on the side of the plane taking off, he's probably bolted. He's probably in a metal. He's probably in a giant magnet suit. Just connected.
But he's still on a plane. Yeah.
He's still on a plane taking off. Right there, that sells the movie. And I was talking to Kevin. And he goes, "Well, so how do you get down?" And I was like, "They landed the plane." He's like, "I don't know."
He jumped. He got down.
I'm like, Scientology is incredible.
You know what's funny? Like, with so much CGI, we kind of take stuff for granted. So when you see, like, the real stuff, it's kind of like you don't realize how difficult it is. Tom Cruise is batshit crazy. But I will always have respect for him for how much work he put in. Like, I remember reading, like, Collateral. Like, he drove around the cab, you know, like a taxi driver. Like, he walked around, like, in disguise for, like, a month. Just walking around, like, how to be, like, faceless. And just going about town and drawing a cat, and nobody recognized him. Like, he trained on how to use the guns and everything. Like, I remember watching that. Like, yeah, this.
Yeah.
He takes his work seriously.
Yeah, like I was talking to somebody at the job, and they're like, "Tom Cruise, I just don't like Tom Cruise. He's too crazy." Like, I was like, "I don't give a shit about his personal life, dude. I don't care if he eats children. that dude makes good movies, and you're not going to mistake it for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, though, how do you pitch to an insurance company? Okay, so we're going to take Tom Cruise, and, all right, wait a minute. Tom Cruise? Yeah, Tom Cruise. Okay. Now, you signed off last year, or 2 years ago, when we had him stand on top of the tower. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, that was pretty crazy. Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah. Well, this year, this time around, we've got an even bigger stunt, and we're going to need you to cover it again. Okay, what's this one? You can't really do too much more. We're going to have him hold on to the side of a plane that takes off. And it doesn't actually take off. Oh, no, it gets full altitude, and then he comes back down after that. What insurance company just goes, oh, okay, cool.
And I'm sure at this point Paramount probably has a special one. Oh, what's Tom doing now? Is it Lancia Air? He's done enough crazy stuff where it's kind of like, long as he don't die. So
yeah, just trying to think. Like, he's gone into the sky. He hasn't really done too much with water, I guess.
No.
But
it's just like, you talked about like the last one, in the burst. That was like in the middle of the movie. It wasn't even like something that had to be done in the movie. It's like, oh, we just need to get in this building. So you're going to climb here and climb up. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, they said they had the rope, and they see, you know, they digitally removed the rope. But that's him on the top of the building just because, we thought this would be cool. The fans would like it. And most fans probably thinking, see, they probably realize because Tom Cruise is probably real. But most might go, it's some CGI nonsense. Because who would be crazy enough to do something like that? Oh, Tom Cruise would be.
Yeah.
So it's probably real.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately for him, I think he's been sullied just because of stuff that happened, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now the whole Scientology thing, obviously. But, I saw that. And then they show like a Fast and the Furious trailer, and I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this. And then I saw, Mission Impossible is not until August, and Fast and the Furious, thank God, is out next week.
Yeah.
Because could you imagine if those came out like back to back?
Man, that's just too much.
There's
that back to back, and then the Avengers comes out like 3 weeks later.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, I'm done. I know there's other movies this summer, but I don't think it's necessary to go see them any longer.
Yeah, I'll say this. I was looking at the movie release. They did a good job of spreading like the big movies out. Like they got a lot of small stuff, but like all the big movies, it's like 3 week gap between each other, 3 weeks or a month. Like you have Fast and Furious, then you don't have the Avengers till May. Then you had, I think, like Jurassic Park. No, then you had Mad Max. Then you had Jurassic Park. Then you had like Ant-Man. Then you had Mission Impossible. And then you had something else. And then it's like some movies in the fall. And then Star Wars in December.
Yeah. Which I remember we were trading messages earlier today. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought Superman Batman came out at the end of this year. So when I saw March of 2016, I was like, oh my God. But that's, and we'll use this to wrap up. They released that picture of Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. It was like, I don't know what we were supposed to like get from that. Like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, I don't know.
Just to let people know that he would be bald, because there was some worry about that when they first announced him.
Yes, I don't know. He had a pretty like shallow gaze on him, like an empty gaze, not shallow. So maybe he's supposed to be. I hope they don't change that character too much and make him like some homicidal guy.
Mm-hmm.
See,
here's my thing. I don't have a problem with him playing a role because I saw The Social Network.
Uh huh.
Yeah, so I can see him playing like some super smart, borderline sociopathic asshole. Because that's basically what's him in the social. Like, he has that, you know, like hyper intelligent, kind of like, you know, I'm better than you. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of insecurity. Like, I have to prove it all the time. Like, I have to, you know, that's me, the best villains, where they have superior skill, but there's enough insecurity where they have to overcompensate just a little bit. And he's good at doing that.
And I get they're going to need somebody with some sort of like that sociopathic flair to chew up the scenery with Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, and whoever, the multitude of other people who are going to be in this thing. So, I don't know. I didn't mind the casting. So I was like, okay, let's see what happens.
A lot of people did. And the reason why was, well, we thought Bryan Cranston was going to do it. Now he's not. That's the whole thing. If that name never got leaked, nobody would have the issues with the cast of Saw. Maybe he's too young. But when you get your mind made up, this guy should do it. And then you get somebody else that's like, no, I'd rather have him. And that was the big deal when that casting thing, because they were assuming, oh, Bryan Cranston's going to do it, like Breaking Bad, just wrapping up. He'd be a perfect Lex Luthor. He looks like Lex Luthor, for God's sake. Like, so. And they're like, nah, he's not going to do it. The guy from Zombieland is going to do it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Not Academy Award nominee Jesse Eisenberg. The punk from Zombieland is not Michael Cera.
Yeah. Or we could have the guy from Breaking Bad and the cameo appearance in Godzilla. So
one more thing before we go, because we brought Bryan Cranston. I was watching Street Fighter, the anime. I'm a Street Fighter animated movie.
Okay.
I'm watching it and like Ryu's fight Fei Long. I'm like, that voice sounds familiar. I remember when the movie came out. I remember the role, and then I remember watching Breaking Bad. You realize Bryan Cranston did that voice?
No.
He used to do like Japanese anime voices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I say, funny how the world, like, it's funny when you see people before they become famous and then you see them in roles. Like, I still laugh when I see Bradley Cooper in Wedding Crashers.
Yes, that's always the good one.
The Lodge or some, like, some Abercrombie asshole, just like, oh, this guy's gonna be a nice bimbo, and now he's Bradley Cooper. Like, when he's not winning, when he's not getting nominated for Oscars, he's playing a talking, you know, chipmunk.
Raccoon.
Yeah,
chipmunk be even better. But well, we spent most of our time talking about wrestling. Oops, but whatever. It's the wrestling time of year,
yeah.
So we'll get into some of the other pop culture stuff next time.
You know what's going to be next time? Fast and Furious.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see what I guess I'll know, because I'll ask you after we're done. But just with The Flash apparently rebooting the show, sort of, the time paradox. I thought that was interesting this week. So we'll talk about that off the air, and maybe it'll make its way on later. Because all these shows are going to be wrapping up next month. So
yeah.
I mean, it's Walking Dead's done this week. I think Justified has three more. Americans, I don't think it has but three or four. So it's like, huh. And I think Arrow and all those wrap up at the end of April or beginning of May. So we only got a few weeks left of all the goodness. And I don't know what the hell I'm going to do.
Watch movies.
Yeah, true. And the strain will be back, so that'll be nice.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, I'm going to get out of here. You can follow us on all social media, and including the podcast. Just look for Stunt Granny, all right? I'm Granny Mays. If you like pictures of beer, food, and the occasional person, you can follow me on Twitter, because my Instagram goes to it. So I'll let you take us out. If you want to plug the Twitter on your end, I don't know how much you're going to be doing over the weekend, but it'll be fun to watch.
I'll be taking pictures of food and jackass wrestling fans, because that's what you do at WrestleMania.
You better bring about four or five more battery chargers then. So,
I'll still never get over where the group of five Filipinos, where four of them were dressed up as Randy Savage and one was dressed up as Miss Elizabeth. So, yeah, that's a story for another day.
But. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, guys. Well, I'll send us out. Screw it. We'll get at you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye. That's why I don't do these.
Yeah.